Please welcome Joe McClanahan.
Okay. Hi. I want to thank everyone for coming. This is the first time I've done this, so please be gentle. And also, I just want to say as a disclaimer that everything that I'm about to tell you is true. I've just changed the names, except for my own. Okay, I'm going to take you guys on a journey that I took into the dark world of classified romance. And at some point a few years ago, I realized that I had become one of those people that all of my couple friends would look at and go, why the hell aren't you dating anyone? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to set you up. So I thought, okay, this is great. You know, it takes the pressure off. I've always been a bit shy. And I'd have this little band of romance pimps, you know, going around. And, you know, just trying to ensure that I would be part of a couple, you know, that I would be, you know, complete. And I wouldn't be one of those sort of lonely, sad people roaming their video stores each night looking for the one movie that they haven't seen and then going to buy, you know, Wolfgang Puck dinner for one. And all I would have to do would be to just sit back and just, you know, wait for the parade to start. But as each subsequent guy was introduced to me, a couple of patterns began to emerge. The first one was that the attractiveness of each guy became inversely proportional to how perfect my friends thought they were for me. For example, like the first couple of guys were really nice looking, but we had nothing in common, and so on and so on and so on. You see where that one was going. And the other thing was the introductions that my friends would make became more and more contrived. You know, they would come up with these really convoluted and illogical sort of points of similarity between me and the person they were setting me up with. I mean, one friend actually said to me, she introduced me to this guy, and she says, oh my God, Gerald's favorite movie is Showgirls also. which is not true at all. I think it's a great movie, but it's not. So we were already starting off the relationship on a lie. But this brought me to a couple of realizations about my friends. The first one was that obviously they were a lot more desperate to set me up than I realized. And also, I guess they were under the impression that I was a lot less shallow than I knew I really was. I mean, these guys that are setting me up with were really, really nice. I'm sure wonderful attributes, great people, but I just didn't find them attractive at all. You know, and I guess my friends were under the mistaken impression that I was so noble and full of character that looks didn't matter to me at all. Right. Well, anyway, after a few too many, you know, deflected invitations, word got around that Gerald is a bit too picky. So let's all wish him luck. And they did. Well, a couple months after that, I ran into an acquaintance from college, and the discussion, of course, came around to our romantic status. I told her I was still single. And she started telling me about how she had met this guy, and they were getting married, and they were looking for a house in L.A., and he went to Harvard, was a Harvard MBA, and I went to Princeton. I was like, wow, where did you meet this guy? She said that she had placed an ad in L.A. Weekly. The guy responded, and they'd been together ever since. And I thought, really? A Harvard MBA? L.A. Weekly? I'm intrigued. So I thought, you know, that's going to be my next course of attack. I would take my own love life into my own hands. You know, I would take ownership of my own rejection and loneliness and empower myself, goddammit. Yeah. Apparently, I'd been watching a lot of Oprah that week. Anyway, so I grabbed a copy of that week's paper and began to fill out the form to be mailed into the classified department. Now, for those of you who don't know, there's a language that these ads have that really is kind of all their own. For example, VGL stands for very good looking. S, single. BM, black male. J, Jewish. NSD, no sex or drugs. And so on and so on. The other unstated thing that you kind of have to sort of figure out is that there is a slight difference between the actual meaning of these words and what they mean in the classified ad world. For example, VGL, very good looking, really means I think I'm reasonably attractive, but apparently not enough to go down to my local bar and pick up any hottie I want. NSD, no sex or drugs, really means no sex or drugs on the first date, but maybe if we meet again. Someone says they're gregarious, you know, that means they're not into commitment. And a healthy love of life means Courtney Love has nothing on me, where's the smack? Needless to say, filling out the paper ride was my first challenge. Because whatever I put down, it's 30 words or less. Whatever I put down had to represent the utterly complex enigma that I believe myself to be. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I'm a little bit of a perfectionist with very mild control issues. Shut up. You know, but in a good way. You know, for example, it takes me maybe seven, eight, nine attempts to record my, you know, Anthem machine message. You know, I mean, you want to get the perfect sort of balance of friendliness and business-like brevity, you know. You know, oh, we're not home right now, so leave your name and we'll call you back. See? And the ad has to incorporate that same balance. You know, you have to be available, but not desperate. Quirky, but not a freak. Cool, but interested. I mean, basically, the ad had to give across the impression that you were so cool that you really didn't need an ad to meet people. Irony much? Okay, so I came up with an ad, and this took me about 5 hours. VGL. VGL, VM. 30 years old, clean-shaven, witty and intellectual, sharp humor with a soft heart. Seeking, VGL, 25 to 35 year old male, to laugh at life's little ironies. No drugs, not a sex ad, which you have to put in, believe me. After a couple of days, I received a phone call from a very professional sounding older woman from The Weekly, who gave me a mailbox number and some instructions on how to set up a an outgoing phone message that people responding to my ad could listen to. And I thought, oh, this is great. Basically, what she's telling me is I have to come up with another goddamn ad. So I said, you know, I'm going to make lemons out of lemonade, and decided that, okay, I'll use this as an opportunity to accentuate my sense of humor, my command of irony. Because if anything is sexy, it's irony. So, I mean, once again, you know, balance was key, I thought. You know, I told myself to try to sound sexy, but not predatory. Light and breezy, but not flighty. And most importantly, avoid any sibilant S's. That was very important to me. Again, thinking irony, I decided I'm going to put on Barry White's Love's theme, thinking that someone would understand the inherent cheesiness of what we were taking part in. And I started one of the many versions of my voicemail message. Hi. Thanks for responding to my ad. I enjoy flea markets and old movies. Okay, stop, stop. I sounded like I was filling out a Playmate questionnaire. I tried again. Hey, thanks for responding to my ad. Stop! Is that a sibilant S? Finally, after about a dozen or so attempts, I finally came up with the ad that I wanted. Hey, thanks for responding to my ad. I'm 6 feet tall, 175 pounds, medium complexion, with a shaved but not bald head. I'm interested in photography and architecture, film and theater, and I'm an avid pop culture junkie. I have an equally healthy appreciation for fine art and truly bad cinema. I'm looking for someone who doesn't take themselves too seriously and can appreciate a day at the flea market as well as a weekend evening at home. Interested? Leave a message and I'll get back to you. Thanks a lot. Oops. No, that was it. You know, vague enough not to sound too challenging, but complex enough to keep away the, you know, the mindless go-go boy trying to reform with someone safe and GHB free. So once again, I sat back and just waited for the parade of responses. Well, day one, day two, day three, day four, nothing. You know, and of course my first response is, my voicemail is obviously not working because my mailbox should be stuffed with, you know, responses. But unfortunately, the voicemail box was. It was the ad that wasn't. But on the fifth day, I had 4 or 5 messages in my box. I was like, okay, that's good. Well, the first responder complimented me on my choice of background music. All right, Barry. And then proceeded to talk to me about the intricacies of lovemaking to said music, and how the bass in Barry's voice caused his spine to quiver. Oh, about that! Okay, thank you. Okay, so it was Barry 1, irony 0. But the next guy, Glenn, seemed a bit more reasonable. He was a writer. He told me he was 35 and found my ad charming. But all right, bingo. We agreed to meet for coffee at the Bourgeois Pig up on Franklin. James was the next guy. He was 32, sculptor, musician. he talked about vegetarianism and a recent trip to camping in Yosemite. And he suggested that we meet at Rita Flora restaurant. This is this sort of like flower slash pastry shop over on La Brea. You know, the type of place where you can buy like a rhododendron and a half-calf latte at the same time. Really hip. So I'm thinking, you know, this ad thing is going better than I thought. And the next guy was Todd. He was 29, worked as a copywriter at an ad agency. And we spoke on the phone for a good hour. I mean, he was funny, he was smart. And he even cautiously asked me if the Barry White that I put on my message was meant to be taken seriously. I thought, all right, you know, finally someone gets my sense of whimsical irony. This is great. So we quickly set up a Sunday brunch at the Highland Grounds over on Highland, obviously. And I have to say, I was really, really, really excited about it. You know, three dates in 1 week. I mean, the past 3 months have been this barren wasteland of trips to the video store or, you know, like a fifth wheel outing with couples that I knew. So I get to the Bourgeois Pig. The first date, to meet Glenn, I'm there a little early, yeah, I'm a little nervous, so I get a little cup of herbal tea to calm me down, and I stake out a table. Glenn walks in, and he introduces himself, and he sits down. Now, although my ad had sort of more than implied that I was interested in people between 25 and 35, Glenn apparently had decided to just sort of completely disregard this. I mean, and this guy was 50 if he was gay. So I called him on this, like, on the age that he obviously was, and what he had told me on the phone, and he really cockily sort of sits back and goes, you know what? I figured that once you met me, it wouldn't make a difference. Nice to meet you, Glenn. Bye-bye. Well, 2 evenings later, I pull up to Rita Flora Park, get out, and I'm running really late. Well, actually about 5 minutes late. And I hope that James, the next guy, was a bit late too. Well, he wasn't. He was already on his second latte and a pretty big piece of cheesecake that he was pretty much finished with. You know, we shook hands and checked him out. He looked his age. Actually, he looked very good for his age. Actually, he just looked good for any age. This was a really, really good-looking guy. I'm like, okay, this is great. This is really, really cool. So we talk a bit, and tell me about a recent trip he had taken to Europe. You know, a friend had invited him, you know, all expenses paid, you know, except for spending money. And I guess at some point during the trip, he and his traveling companion, who he hinted was an older gentleman, and I didn't want to go there, they got into some sort of argument. And long story short, he apparently borrowed this gentleman's credit card, which got him from Germany to France, and then bought a plane ticket, bringing him back to the U.S. And he tells me all of this with the self-righteous air of someone who really believed that he had been wronged. You know, it's like, it was like, you mean someone paid to take you to Europe and they expected you to keep them company? How self-indulgent. So, when the check came, James graciously allowed me to pay. And he had only brought $6 with him. And believe me, the credit card that I used did not leave my sight for 1 minute. Okay, thank you, that's mine. As we walked to the car, James had suggested, hey, let's go, you know, see a movie and maybe get some dinner this weekend. And by dinner and a movie, I assume that he meant, I'm going to need $50 on Saturday. Is that going to be a problem? Bye-bye, James. He was a really good-looking guy, though. Okay, so... okay, it was 2 strikes, 1 more batter to go. Sunday morning arrives, and I tell myself, you know, I'm just going to go flow. You know, I don't have any expectations. I have 2 cups of chamomile tea that morning. I write in my journal. And I head off to the Highland Grounds to meet Todd. On the way over, I'm sort of telling myself, I'm promising myself that I'm not going to judge a book by its cover. You know, I mean, I'll be open-minded and I'll be fair. You know, perhaps I am being a bit too picky, you know? I mean, yeah, Glenn was cocky and a liar, and James was a self-involved leech, but who am I to judge, you know? And sort of like a mantra I told myself, you know, I'm going to stay in the moment with Todd, and I'm just going to work with it. Well, before I even enter the back patio, I see Todd. I mean, I couldn't help but see the guy. Okay, imagine that Edgar Winter, that albino rocker, had a son. Well, dip that son in flour, and then soak him in bleach. And that's how white Todd was. And I don't mean like white, like culturally. I mean, this guy was really, really white. I mean, scary white, like powder. And, you know, the problem was I couldn't stop thinking about it. I mean, we had a great, great conversation. It was similar to what we talked about on the phone. We got into some discussion about a couple of movies we had seen. We agreed to disagree on some recent controversy in L.A. And it would have been, it really would have been a wonderful brunch, except for the fact that I kept thinking, I'm dying of Casper. And the thing is, I knew that it was my problem, you know, and but I also knew at the same time that I didn't want to overcome it. I mean, not with him, and not at that particular point in time, you know. And all the while he's talking about his love for Dorothy Parker, who I really like. And I'm thinking, I'm never going to see this guy again. And although on the surface I told myself, well, that's because I really don't want to, I think deep down it's because I believe that I really didn't deserve to. I really didn't deserve to, you know. So it was over. We exchanged phone numbers. This was at his request. And I told myself, you know what? I'm going to give him a chance. I knew that I was lying. You know, he called me a couple of times, and I never returned his phone calls. And the thing was, I was never sure if I was interested in him or interested in trying to prove something to myself. And I just never gave myself the opportunity to figure out which one it was. So. After that week, obviously, my interest in the person was diminished. There were a few more responses, but then nothing much really came of them. And after 2 weeks, my ad had run its full 4-week cycle. A young woman called me and asked me if I wanted to renew the ad to run it for another month. And I told her no. You know, so my ad, along with the other personals that had, you know, shared the same 28 days of public scrutiny, disappeared, and it was replaced by a group of younger and more eager VGLs and SBMs. Well, given the circumstances of my life now, I can look back on the last couple of years and smile. I guess like handing over control of my romantic life to my friends, you know, gave me sort of an insight into how they think of me. And I guess when I took control over my own romantic life, I thought, okay, you know, this is what I think of myself. But I guess the trick, at least for me, what I've learned is it was just about letting go and not trying to control things. There are some things that you can't control. Just sort of let it go and see what happens. About 8 months ago, not looking for anything or anyone, fell head over heels in love. And I guess the whole irony of this whole situation is, I guess once I stopped searching, I guess love came looking for me, and I guess that's the biggest irony of the whole thing. And by the way, the guy that I'm involved with is white, but he's not that white.